Hey, I'm Cara Stevens, WGLM. We are doing a veteran spotlight with Buck and Bruce.
Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we look at the communities, businesses, attractions, and people that make up Montcalm County. Here are your podcast hosts, Dwayne Weed and Cara Stevens.
Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast. My name is Dwayne, and I'm doing a section here that I'm glad that we're starting to do. It's called Veteran Spotlight. Cara is here with me from 106.3 FM out of Greenville. We've got Buck from the Sheridan VFW post 5065. Can't even read my own writing. So 5065 out of Sheridan. Here to kind of direct us through this and kind of help us. And our guest today is Bruce Harrington. Bruce, thank you for coming on and sharing your story.
It's a pleasure.
You know, we started this with an idea. We were talking, and we decided that, you know, let's do something for our vets. And I know that a lot of veterans don't talk about their time. And I respect that. I respect that a lot. But, and the same token, if there's something out there that people know that there's a place to turn, there's somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, we're not getting into the missions and everything that you were on, but, you know, you did experience something that, I mean, I'm a civilian.
My dad
was in the Army. I've got nephews. One's deployed right now. So it's one of those things that, you know, I'm close enough to it. But let's start with an easy question. Let's start with where you grew up, and can you, you know, kind of tell us what life was like in your early years?
Yeah, so I grew up in Greenville. actually live in the house now, like tied to where I grew up. My mom divorced my dad at a pretty early age of 4 or 5 years old. So stepdad was a Marine. I always wanted to be in the military, watching Rambo, Commando, Predator, you know, like, yeah. Those were all G.I. Joe, the cartoon. That was just like, I knew at a young age. My stepdad would get so pissed because I would take his BDUs all the time. He kept them for turkey hunting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I would take them, just run off and just go out in the woods and just kidnap my sister's baby dolls.
From the civilian side, you just said a term that what does the...
BDUs are just battle dress uniform. It's just the camouflage. It's your typical what soldiers wear every
day. Crawling on the ground, doing the Army crawl.
Getting them nice and dirty, and then just bring back stuff full of ticks. Uh-huh. Just put them right back in the closet.
Yeah, and they're ready for you when you go to play it again.
Yeah, that's right.
So, early age, you decided, you know, the military was that. When did that, how old were you when that actually came to realization, and did you know what branch you were going to go into immediately, or talk to us about that?
So, I was kind of late going in. I was like 24 years old when I went in. But it was kind of a rough childhood. I left home when I was about 15 and got into drinking and drugs and stuff like that. Finally, it just kept pounding at me. And so finally it's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to a recruiter. So joined. Actually, I was telling Buck on the way over here, my stepdad's dad was in the Navy. So he told him if he's going to join, he should join the Navy. So my stepdad joined the Marines. So then when I was going to join, he said, you should join the Marines. So I joined the Army. So it's like, got to carry on that. So I'm sure my son will be in the Air Force or something. Yeah,
you know, give him three that he wants.
I'll be like, join the Marines, the Navy, or the Air Force, and then maybe he'll join the Army.
Well, yeah, and that's, you
unless
know,
he watches this.
Yeah, yep. Now he knows my plans.
Now,
yeah,
sorry.
Oh, speaking of which, can I say hi to my kids?
You sure can.
All right, I just want to say hi, Seamus, Piper, Ann, Henry, Penelope, my wife, Ann Louise. You guys are great. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be as good as I am. I've got great support at home, you know, and that's pretty important stuff.
And we've been learning that, you know, Cara and I have been learning that as we talk to you know, the vets, people that are in VFWs or American Legions, your experience with your dad being a veteran, that the support system is so very important.
Oh,
so
it's huge.
You're now getting deployed.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through, okay, you went to the recruiter, put your name on it, and take us from that point to shipping off.
Okay, so I joined the infantry. I had good scores, but it felt like that's where I needed to be. You know, I couldn't bring myself to do anything besides what I played, I was doing my entire life. So I joined just needs of the Army. Just put me wherever you want to. They stationed me in Fort Hood. Got to my unit, told them I want to be a sniper. My NCO at the time, Sergeant Gibson, he's like, I don't give an F what you want to do. Do push-ups. So I was like, okay, well, I understand how this works now.
Okay, uh-huh.
I can laugh, but so reality.
Funny to me that to this day. So just kept my nose in the Ranger handbook, stayed out of trouble. I think it was easier with me being a little bit older than the rest of the privates. You know, everybody else is always just out going, getting messed up. And I actually did get to go to sniper school. And that happened before we went, but they kept me as a sharpshooter for my unit. We get to Iraq. That was in end of 05, December of 05. About one or two months in, I ran across the sniper squad leader, Anthony Benetz, and he told me at that time they had two Cherry privates attached to them, and I'm like, dude, I'm driving a truck, like, do a swap, like, mm-hmm. trade two for, like, those two guys can crash a truck.
Yeah.
So put me in, coach. And so that's what he did, and I actually became a sniper while I was in Iraq. You know, we did our missions. It's like everybody thinks you go over there and you're just crawling around shooting people. One of the main things you want to do is report battlefield intel. That's like if you can be hidden and then all of a sudden a truck drives up and snatches up some potential terrorists or targets of opportunity, that scares the crap out of them because they're like, where'd those guys come from? How'd they know we were doing that?
Right.
Did we do other things? Yes. You know, that's part of the job. It was hot and it was
cold at night.
It was cold at night. Yeah. Yeah. It was, in fact, when we first got there, my mission ready bag, which was my A bag, was stolen. So we get over there. I had nothing besides the BDUs I had on my body.
Who steals your bag?
That's a long story.
We might not have a long.
I followed orders, and then and shit rolled downhill. All right, can I say?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. When I was first over there, it was cold. I was finding people every night. I was cuddling with somebody. I'm just like,
can you spoon me tonight?
Hey man, can I sleep with you tonight? You got room under that woobie?
Yeah.
So, begged, borrowed, and cheated till I could get more stuff. Ran missions, did our thing, got hit with an IED a couple of times, got hit with friendly fire, took a little piece of shrapnel.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, thanks, Shrum.
Uh-huh.
Your idea of fun's not my idea of fun. I'm sorry, you know, we have to define that here. Yeah. But you
I'm
know,
a thrill seeker.
The good news is, you can laugh about it because you're here.
It was tiny, you know. It was those BBs were.
No. That's not how you tell the story. It was this big, sticking out the side.
Okay. I'm lucky I have my ears.
I think we're just rabbit holing.
Yeah.
No.
You said that when you went in, you were a little older.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know maturity has a lot to do with it, but you get over there, and you've played the game. If mm-hmm. in your head, you've been around people, how true, I mean, was there a little culture shock for
huge,
you?
Huge, huge.
You know, and how did you, at the time, deal with that?
Well, so, you get over there, and you think that everybody's your enemy. You know, you get over there, and you're just that's what you think. You think it's going to be like every movie you see. Mm-hmm. The back of the Bradley's going to drop and bullets are just going to be flying everywhere. First body we saw was actually, it was a man that was killed by a local corrupt police official. You know, I mean, we were dealing with people that, it was like the Wild West with mm-hmm. IEDs or roadside bombs, an IED, yeah. just improvised explosive device. And a lot of people were happy to see us there. Most people were. You know, we had people that we worked with while we were over there. They were just, strangely enough, like, you know, this is just after Saddam who had been taken. And that's actually, it was my unit that had arrested Saddam under Lieutenant Colonel Russell. So I was in 4th ID 122. That was back when I was in Fort Hood. It's in Carson now, right? Colorado?
Mm-hmm. Fort Hood.
No, Fort Hood's still in Texas, yeah. but
Texas,
4th ID is now in Colorado.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They switch them around.
Yeah. So yeah. Now that we brought Buck into this, you had your, and we talked a little bit in the past episodes where you've shared your story, and I know you've had a chance to talk to Bruce here a little bit. What kind of questions that you can direct us here a little bit?
Well, me and Bruce basically met.
We met on Tinder.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Swipes so, right. Yeah. Is that Tinder?
Follow us for more dating advice.
Exactly. There you go.
You're not supposed to be squirreling. I'm the squirrel.
So anyway, we met. Our organization was looking for families to adopt for Christmas. Okay? So I get the names mostly from MOCOM. Veteran Affairs, they kind of reach out to me and say, well, we got these four families that would be fit mm-hmm. for you guys. Mm-hmm. So I go ahead, call Bruce up, of course, and he didn't know for sure what it was all about for sure. He met me at Myers, and
public
I came
location.
In there. Yep. You know, we introduced each other, you know, and all of a sudden I said, we're going to donate $500 for Christmas for him. And that was
It broke me.
It broke. We were big hug, big tears.
Yeah. You know. I thought I was getting like $100 in groceries or something.
Yeah, $100 in groceries and something else. You know, for his daughter. He's got a daughter that we bought right from the get go for his daughter that's handicapped.
Yep.
And we bought a walker for her. Mm. And you thought I gave this guy $1 million?
You did.
Well,
really?
You did.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
but yeah. It was more than just the dollars.
No,
and
not,
he didn't even make you
friendship.
Kiss him.
No, I mean,
I know,
we're
not
close
even on
together,
the first. He wouldn't even give me one.
Yeah.
So that's how it all came about. I met Bruce and we talked to each other, you know, and I know he thanked me for, you know, Christmas and all that stuff, you know, and my family, of course, you know, he texts me, whatever. And that's how I come about today, the broadcast. I talked to him yesterday. I said, hey, Bruce. You probably fit in this circumstance right here. We talked about it a little bit, and he goes, well, what they're going to actually talk about? I said, well, you know.
Big
you're
lights.
Gonna
you're going to yeah. be chained up. We're going
right.
to make you
no,
sweat.
That's my other podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can't introduce that here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So, you know, and we start talking, you know, and then just on the way here, we start talking military stuff, whatever, you know what I'm saying, what's going to be involved. And we just kept on reaching out to each other, and then he talked about the Fort Hood thing, you know, and stuff like that. And so, but yeah, it's just nice to talk to individuals that's been through the same stuff that we've been through.
Yeah,
you know,
and we've talked about that quite a bit. But real quick here, Buck, before we get back to Bruce's story, tell us a little bit about your organization that provided for Bruce and his family. So I know we've mm-hmm. talked about your organization yep. before, but let's bring it up again. And how do they get in touch with you?
Our organization is Honor Veterans Soldier Foundation. We're out of Greenville, Michigan. We're actually Greenville Chamber of Commerce back to as well. And so how it comes all about is we want to help veterans. I feel that veterans get left behind too much. So that's why we kind of started our organization. It's been out there for about maybe 6 years now. And
so right around 2020?
Approximately, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we, you know, we do softball tournaments to raise money, golf outings. I go out to businesses, and that's my forte is talking, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and then we go out to businesses, and they really support us really well. And we have big sponsors, small. And basically, if you want to donate to the foundation, you know, you could reach out to me and say, hey, I'd like to make a donation, whatever. And my number is 616-788-4300. And also, too, we have a Facebook page, Honor Veterans Soldier Foundation, as okay. well.
And I want to say, like, as far as what he's doing, it was fantastic. I mean, when we went, you know, I was trying to find a snowsuit for my daughter as well, you know, because, like, that's one of the things she, like, just likes to be outside. And I was looking for one. I couldn't find one, and he was on the phone. I mean, he got cleared for more. He had a guy running and grabbing one for me. They wound up eventually getting one off from Amazon. It was the same one we happened to be looking at. I mean, he was on point. I knew that there was, like, still guys out there that care, you know. It was huge, it was massive. You know, because up until that point, kids were going to get, like, a Christmas present each. We just moved into a new house, and
yeah,
I mean, we were able to get, yeah,
and you would have,
yeah,
been exactly. fine, you would have survived it and all that kind of good,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but that,
wow.
I mean, it was just like, yeah. Yeah, it was our first Christmas in our new house, and we're like, this is going to be a pretty empty tree. But I mean, because of what him and his guys and all the sponsors and donors have done, it was massive.
Okay. Let's.
That ain't the only thing massive.
Yeah, yeah. let's. While you were deployed, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, everybody sees these movies, and I don't want to go there. But
go there a little bit.
While you were there, was there anybody that kind of touched your life in the sense
when I was cuddling? Oh,
no, that was almost like kind of somebody that you could unload with, or, you know, just be that, you know, yeah. did somebody that you'll never forget, you know, that person that you're like, hey, without this person's support, maybe I wouldn't have made it through as well as I did.
Yeah, Anthony Vanette's my team leader. I mean, we were just thick as thieves. He's unfortunately not with us anymore. He went on to become SF. He died during a mission. He was my guy. A lot of them were. You get so close to these guys that you just, we still call each other, and you don't need to talk. You just need a hi. You know, mm-hmm. how you doing? Yep. It's different. It's heartfelt.
It's knowing somebody's thinking about you, or you're thinking about them, or mm-hmm. back and mm-hmm. forth.
And it's the same. It's the same with these guys. You know, it's a very important. It's a very important network. If you don't have it, if you're a soldier and you are out of touch with people, it's imperative that you do find somebody. It
yeah.
takes a lot off, and it's even if it's just a phone call and hey, how you doing? What are you doing?
I'm checking in.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. all. That's all it takes.
It's just like today. You know, yesterday I reached out to him. You know what I'm saying?
He said,
and
sure.
We haven't talked in a while. You know what I'm saying? Or he texted anybody. You know what I'm saying? And then we talk about, you know, stuff that happened to his house and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But we got the chance to talk on the way here. It was perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and somebody calls you and says, hey, you're going to be on a podcast, and it's not your comfort zone. And maybe mm-hmm. it is. I don't know. Maybe you're just living under these lights and just loving every.
I was hoping I would be told that I had to do something today. When I was like, let me check.
Yeah,
I was nervous. I was. It was. But you know, I was like, it's Buck. I owe him. I owe him one big time. So,
yeah.
But I am glad that I came.
Well, and we're glad that you're sharing this story. Now, we talked about the person that, you know, kind of inspired you while you were there, and. A lot of times we go into these stories that are, oh, you know, we want to know the thick of it. Now, share with me a humorous moment that happened to you.
Not the cuddling.
No. That was not funny. That was serious.
You know, but if you
bonds
fun,
were made.
Poking yeah. fun.
Oh, well, we weren't poking.
Seriously, huh? Okay, well.
Time out.
There we go.
So here we go squirreling again. Yep. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I stole a donkey.
The Discover Montcom podcast thanks West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, M106.3 WGLM, DW Video, Blueberry Podcast Platform, and Business Growth Engine. Thank you for your support.
Okay.
Don't tell them about
the only ass
here.
I got while I was over there. Yeah. we were on a mission, and they have, you know, they had donkeys, and I don't know, we were just walking, and we had a lot of gear. And I was like,
this guy would be helpful.
Let's grab this donkey. That donkey went on. I mean, that donkey was with us all day.
He was your guy.
Yeah, he was our. It was our literal pack mule. We got him into the Bradley, and then they're like,
"You can't, guys, yeah, come on, you can't."
What the f are you doing?
Get that donkey out! Yeah. So he's
I mean, that donkey was like the most. It was probably one of the best soldiers I've seen. That thing was just carried.
Well, but you've problem. Yeah. You found a solution.
Yeah.
And the solution was like right there, and you know that's funny. I don't know if it kind of took me.
It started with riding it because I was like, we were like, you think I can ride that donkey? And I got on it. It didn't even. I mean, it followed suit. And I'm like, okay, we're taking this. This dude is down.
And because I'm always, you know, think things are funnier. When you started saying that you got the donkey, I went right to Shrek. No. And I went, why am I here?
Did he talk?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Ours didn't, no.
Oh, okay. No. Just a... So...
That's all. Yeah.
If he did, I'd probably be in a lot of trouble right now.
Yeah. You'd be medicated a different way.
Just like that bus from our movie theater.
Yeah.
So we did the same thing. You know what I'm saying? His donkey carried the weight.
Right.
Our bus seats made the movie theater.
And you know how many stories are coming out of that from other people, too? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Exactly. Just think about it and go, oh, yeah, that donkey. I remember that donkey.
So you had to be very creative when you're over there, and you took advantage of what was right in front of you, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you deployed?
1 year.
You were there for 1 year.
Yeah, I went back. We get 2 weeks off in the middle of it. That was kind of a mistake, I think. I went back, and I was not ready for it. You know, it's a hard adjustment. You're in the middle of. I mean, it wasn't all easy. You know, there were some serious things that happened. I lost personal friends when I was over there. When you get back, you got 2 weeks, and it's like you don't have your rifle. You can't switch it off. You're seeing all these people. Everybody wants to talk to you.
You came home for 2 weeks?
Like, yeah, you get 2 weeks leave while you're deployed. Yeah. And it was pretty rough. And then I felt more comfortable when I got back, and that was actually once I got back, I stopped talking to family. Couldn't do it.
Wow.
It hurt too much. And,
yeah.
You know, you're...
And it takes your mind off where it's supposed to be, I would imagine.
We lost... I mean, we were losing guys. My platoon alone lost, like, 3 guys. And it just... You're like, no more. I can't...
Can you say you don't want to go?
I wasn't going to do that. I wanted to go back. Right. I wanted to be there. Hell, when I was over there, they pulled my wisdom teeth, and they gave me ibuprofen. That's all you get. Ibuprofen, like, just drink lots of water. I tried to run a mission that day. I got back, and they're like, you good? And I just nodded my head. And they're briefing us on the mission. I wasn't talking, and I talk a lot.
So they're like,
Tony's like, you're awfully quiet. Why aren't you saying nothing? And finally, I had to speak, and when I did, a bunch of blood came out of my mouth, and he's like,
nice try.
You ain't going on this mission. Nice. I was like, try. I'm going on this mission.
Did you go?
No, he would not let me. No. Uh-huh. I was like, you kind of hit that point. It's like, I'm going to out-tough you.
Yeah.
It's like, who can say they got their wisdom teeth pulled and then we're on a mission?
Then that's the mentality when you come back.
Well, that's it where a lot of the veterans, I've talked to a lot of veterans, okay? And I talked to a veteran I know, he probably wouldn't come on broadcast, but he was on a mission. One of his friends, they rushed into the door, knocked the door down. Okay, well, this friend went straight through instead of side to side like you're supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and he got shot in the neck. Well, what happened was he put 3 fingers into his neck, tried to stop bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't stop. He got killed. So he came back home, was trying to explain to the father, and the father just called him everything but a white man, okay? His mother kind of knew, you know what I'm saying? But it took, like, he still had, and I don't know for sure if you go through this or not, but he still had his combat boots, his fatigues, with his friend's blood on it still, in a bag, brought home with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he tried to adapt to civilian life. I mean, the people, like he said, you know, they talk, civilians talk to you, try to bring stuff out, you know, and he didn't want to, you know. Mm-hmm. And then finally... He had enough. He signed back up to the infantry unit again. and went back overseas for, I don't know, a few years off and on. But, yeah, he just couldn't adapt to civilian life. And people were just egging him. He just didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to talk about that. You know, because if he talks about that, then you got to call him, and they called him baby killer and all that stuff. You know, that's not right.
No,
you know,
not at all.
And that's why people get the way they do, the veterans do, and want to commit suicide and all that stuff, because they're hammered all the time, you know, and they just have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't have to know how to reach out.
And I think a lot of people that are civilians, they want to do something. They want to show that they understand, or they want to help somehow, and we don't know how sometimes, you know.
Exactly.
So it's like you get these dogs where you wear flags. It's like, oh, don't touch them. There's nothing for our vets.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we don't. How do we do something like that?
Yeah, but that's where it comes involved. When I talked to these vets, I said, well, have you ever went forward and tried to get compensation, whatever, for whatever? And, you know, I give them the avenues, you know, like my contract affairs or, you know, somebody to reach out to, you know what I'm saying? Even though they're not in the county, at least reach out to that county. Or Kent County Veteran Affairs. They have one on Kent County Veteran Affairs as well.
It almost seems like a mission again. You've got something to accomplish. You know what I mean? Even if it is just getting the paperwork in or something like that, it's still military somewhat.
Yep.
You know
is.
What I mean?
Yep.
And Bruce, you were saying that you were fortunate when you got back that you had your wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have her at the time.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
I was actually a wreck for a long time.
When you got back?
But you found support.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you found her or if it found you.
Well, I would say, I thought I was good. When I came back, I was good. Just drink.
It was my job and I'm good.
Do some drinking and I got all my guys. And actually, I don't know if, look up Ricky Roche sometime. He's a survivor. He's basically the face of the Purple Heart. I mean, he's completely burnt up. When I was on leave, that's when his truck got hit, and it was Anthony Vinette's, my team leader, that pulled him out of that truck. When I saw him, that was when I was like, okay, I'm not okay. Because some of these guys that come back, it's, you can't see it. And then you see a guy that's like, I didn't come all the way back. That's what my mom always said. Like, I died when I was over there. Young Bruce died, and somebody else came back.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these guys, when they come back,
it's okay.
You know, they everybody sees it.
Yeah.
And that's why there's just support mechanisms with the VFWs. And we've talked about it in other episodes. You know, it's important to know that there's somebody that's walked in your shoes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Carr and I can sit here and chat and talk. You know, you had your dad. I had my uncle. My dad was in for a year but didn't see combat. But it doesn't matter. You know, there's still something there that,
it's there. It's there forever.
And
you bury some things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tell it.
Yeah, you do.
Well,
you don't dare tell it, because if you tell it, you could be in trouble still.
Well,
and you know, they could still go out and get you still.
Yeah.
If you did something that you weren't supposed to.
Right.
For sure.
Well, you know, and you, at least for me, you know, like being in the sniper section, you have to take psych evals, and, you know, you're constantly checked up on. You have to bury it. And I think that's with most people. And there just becomes this stigma of, I'm not broken. And then when you get back, you lose that entire support structure where the whole, you know what I've been through, it's gone. You know, you're around a bunch of people and they don't understand. You have no way to vent. And you feel lost. You feel absolutely lost. I know there's probably a lot of veterans. Hopefully there's a lot of veterans watching this at some point or another. And if you're struggling, start somewhere. But don't be afraid of the VA. It's not the same as what it used to be. My personal experiences with the VA, when I first went there, it was like I don't know, I kind of felt like it was more like a flea market for doctors, you know, there was just like, it seemed like, oh, it's great, it's all here, yeah. It's all here, yeah, but
Is it
good? Yeah, you know, yeah. But going into it and getting help, you realize real quick they do want to. They're trying to right that wrong that happened years back when other guys were going through. And they've streamlined a lot. If it's medication that you need, they'll get you on medication. If it's somebody you need to talk to, they'll get you somebody to talk to. If it's physical therapy you need, they'll get
it's
you.
A ride.
Yeah, they props to the VA at this point. You know, I would say that there's a lot of people there that mean well. They're very patient.
I've learned by talking to people that if you're not getting the answer, keep asking the question.
Correct. Yeah, don't give up.
Don't give up. No. Be your best advocate. And, you know, if this person doesn't give you the answer, keep asking.
And it's not, it's not an assignment anymore. You know, that's another big one. If you get a doctor and you don't like them, ask for a different one. They will put you on a different team. You know, they have teams that are there that coordinate with that doctor. They'll put you on a whole new team if you need.
You are your assignment at that point.
You got to, at that point, you've got to have your own back, but people there do care. They are trying to help. Show a little patience, but don't hide. If you're trying to get help, hiding it isn't going to help you. You gotta let them know what's wrong.
And I think that's one of the key things that we've been learning as we open up this segment of Veteran Spotlight, you know, on the Discover.com podcast, is the fact that, you know, people can share the stories and know that they're not alone. You know, I mean, I feel in a small way that we're bringing you on to talk, but I haven't walked in your shoes. I don't know what it's like, but I can at least ask the right questions to have people like you, you know, both of right. you to come on and be able to help us and say, hey, make the call.
Yep. Make the phone call. Don't
send
wait.
The cereal. No. Send the cereal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until it's too late. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I said, the one veteran we're helping right now, he was about to commit suicide, you know, and we talked for about 3 hours, you know, sat there talked. Because, you know, I believe, and if you talk and get the help, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's people out there that wants to help.
Yeah. For the veterans, we lost the guy last year, you know, the guy that I served with, Anthony Sage. So Anthony Vanette's my team leader, but then Anthony Sage last year killed himself. Yeah. Wife was trying to wrestle the gun from him.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's real.
It's real out there. It's for veterans.
And it's like, it's so, you know, like veterans that are out there, reach out to your buddies. Just reach out from time to time, because...
And just say hi.
Check in on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Check in on them. Yeah.
I guess I'm going to kind of reach out and be on a little high horse here for a moment.
Donkey.
You know, not too high.
We're going to be on the donkey today. You know, some people call me an ass, but, you know, anyways, we'll go down that road another time.
I think I said that out loud.
But, you know, the fact of the matter, you know, that we've mentioned that the veteran needs to, if you're a family member out there, this is for you as much as it is for the vet. If you sense that you got a neighbor, a loved one, somebody, make the call for them. Get with the VFWs, get with the, you know, the American Legions, get with the local veteran, so, you know, the VA, as you ask
somebody,
you know, but that person could reach out. I know they can't go too deep in
certain things,
but at least stop by, tell them you're taking them out for coffee and end up at a VFW to talk with other people.
It'd be a good call.
You know, so that is my, I'll get down off my donkey, you know, but the idea that, you know, people just need to know that don't put it all on the veteran's shoulders. Mm-hmm. You know, if your friend or loved one, by all means, you know, take it, make it happen. There are people out there that can do it. As we wrap this up, because I'm sure we could talk stories and stories, and I'm getting the sense that just reach out is the important part here for anybody
that's a good start. Yeah,
you know, you've laid some really great advice out there for others already, But is there anything in closing that you'd like to leave us with that might be
beneficial for
spark of hope or something? You know, and I don't mean to put all the weight on your shoulders. And,
he's used to it. It's
you know,
okay.
If you want
drink
Buck,
beer,
you know, Buck, if you want to you know chime in a little bit here too, you're, I mean, between the two of you,
I'll let you go first.
Just reach out to your MOCCOM Veteran Affairs, Kent County Veteran Affairs. You can reach out to the VFWs, American Legions as well. Yeah. Either one of those two, Greenville, Stanton, American Legion. The VFW in Sheridan,
Lakeview.
You know, Lakeview Post, Edmore Post. I mean, there's a lot of avenues to reach out to. And you need to reach out to those people like that because they can guide you. And, you know, my organization, Honor Veteran Soldier Foundation, can guide you as well because my number is 616-788-4300. You can call me any time of night. I don't care.
Yeah. The big thing is you're there.
Well, I agree with Buck wholeheartedly. Reach out to friends, reach out to family, but I got to say, for me, it was finding Christ. I mean, I went to church when I was younger, and I was spiteful and vindictive and hated the world for a long time. I was not good. And it wasn't until I accepted him back into my life that I started doing a lot better. So thoughts and prayers to all those veterans that are out there.
Yeah. So on that note, I think we're going to wrap this up. Get with your local, you know, VFW, American Legion, veterans.
Call Buck.
You
know,
Call Buck.
You know, all that information will be on the podcast. And usually I have a long list of things. I'm not going to go there. You know, prayers for them, for everybody out there, family members, veterans. You know, you're all walking that walk. Know that, you know, there is hope. And with that, you know, my heart goes out, love and prayer to everybody. And remember to buy and shop locally.
And support your vets.